Turn with me in your scripture to Isaiah chapter 14. Just find Isaiah chapter 14 and get there. While you're getting there, I'll tell you a little story. There was a lady and she was teaching her three-year-old daughter. Caitlin was her name. She was teaching her the Lord's Prayer. And for several evenings, they would just do the Lord's Prayer together and she would have little Caitlin repeat after her. And finally, Caitlin decided to go solo. She was ready to say the Lord's Prayer. And she began to talk and she got each word right and she was doing great. And then she got toward the end and she said, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from email." All right. Are you in Isaiah chapter 14? Just keep your hand in there. We'll get to that eventually. I'm going to give you a definition now for something. I do this every once in a while. Today is one of those days, and you are some amazing American people, and you may respond with gusto is how you may respond when I ask a question today, but I don't want you to respond. I want you to think, okay? This is a rhetorical question that I'm about to ask, and I want to give you the definition from the internet, from Webster.com or whatever I got. A rhetorical question, a noun, a question to which no answer is expected, often used for rhetorical effect. So I'm trying to affect something inside your thinking. A question posed only for dramatic or persuasive effect. Okay? And one more thing it said, a question to which the asker does not expect an answer. All right, now you've got the idea. Listen and think, even though some of you are going to want to jump up and shout something. Don't do it. All right. Are you proud to be an American? Boy, some of you, that just did. Right away, there are probably some mixed emotions on this, by the way. In the past, I think most Americans would say they were proud to be an American. And then today, there are some people who aren't proud to be an American unless you tell them which America you want to be proud of. Yeah, there you go. Now you kind of got an idea of where I'm going, right? A little bit, because there's some debate on whether we should even be proud of our country. Some people think we should be ashamed of our country for the horrible history of our nation and all the evil that we've done. Meanwhile, other people don't see it that way. And there's this thing going on in our nation that really has kind of been hard and... But like I said, some voices are telling us we shouldn't be proud of our nation. I think our nation has done pretty good. And the problem with some people is all they can see is what we didn't do good instead of what we did that was different than some other nations who also weren't doing good. There's a lot in history. If you look at history at all, there's a lot in history where countries haven't done so good. There have been a lot of despots and emperors and people who didn't do well. Our nation is actually, I think, in comparison, done pretty good. America is going to be celebrated in a couple of days, and it's already started in a lot of places. How many of you have been hearing fireworks in your neighborhood already? There's a lot of that going on, and fireworks is going to continue. And almost every night this coming week, someone's shooting off fireworks at some town, city, whatever. They're all doing it on different days for different reasons. So probably you could go eat hot dogs and see fireworks every day this week. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We've been the freest country on earth. Even if we're not as free as we once were. And even that sometimes is a little misunderstood. How we've understood some things about our freedom has been up and down throughout our history. We fought a couple of pretty significant wars, world wars, and those were fought, at least we think they were fought, for good reason. Sometimes there are questions about the reasons that we went to war and whether we should or shouldn't have gone to war and what the results were. I do believe that without America, we might just all be Nazis right now. So there have been some things that we've done that I think kind of had to be done. But some people today, again, are saying that America the Beautiful isn't all that beautiful. All I can say to that is, compared to who? And by the way, some people are even rewriting history to try to make things look different. I don't approve. There are some things we can discover looking back on history that we might not have understood before. I'm not against that, but sometimes I wonder about what people are doing, and they seem to be coming up with more of our flaws than anything else. And we do have some flaws as a nation. I think every nation does. So back to my rhetorical question, are you proud to be an American? And my question now turns to, how did you become an American? Is there anybody in here who's a naturalized citizen? What? So you didn't have to do anything to become an American? You had to suck some air when you came out of mama, that's it. You didn't do a dang thing to be an American. A few of you did serve. And thank you for that. But again, we also ought to recognize that we appreciate those who have served, and it also should be a thought for all of us that it's a privilege to serve. So it didn't really take any effort on your part to become an American, did it? Didn't have to work at it? I think it might be one thing to be proud to be an American if you were born someplace else and you went through the process. And I heard someone recently say that everybody ought to have to go through the process. And I'm starting to wonder if that wouldn't be a good idea. I don't think some people understand what it really means to be an American or how they should see what has gone on. But people who come here from other lands and then become naturalized citizens, they go through a lot. I think sometimes they appreciate it more than some of us. Now it's time for another definition. Going to the internet, getting my definitions all lined up. Pride. Yes, today I want to talk about pride. It's a noun. It's a sense of one's own proper dignity or value. Self-respect. That's definition number one. A sense of one's own proper dignity or value. Self-respect. Number two. Pleasure or satisfaction taken in an achievement, possession, or association. Okay, I get that. Number three, arrogant or disdainful conduct or treatment, haughtiness. Almost sounds like that definition doesn't match the other two definitions. Of course, these definitions also came from a quick internet search, and I just want to look at our rhetorical question that we started with just kind of in the light of these. Being an American definitely has some value, but I have a question for you. Shouldn't everyone have value in the world no matter what country they come from? Shouldn't we recognize and treat everyone with dignity, no matter where they come from? Just saying. I heard a guy one time, by the way, I think I've said this from the pulpit before, heard a guy going on and on and on about how China was catching up to America and they were going to become the economic power and we were going to be not as big an economic power as China. And he said, that's a bad thing. And I understand some of the political ramifications of China not being as, what I would want to say, free in their elections and things as we'd like to think that our elections are, we'd like to think. But I got to thinking, do you know how many Chinese there are? Like 1.4 million, I think now, somewhere in a billion. I'm sorry, yes, 1.4 billion. I said million, yeah. And do you know how many Americans there are? About 350 million. We're about one quarter the size of China. Now, do you reckon people in China who watch our movies and see us driving around in our cars and living in our homes, do you reckon they would like to have anything like us? Or are they just really happy to go, oh, look at the Americans have all those wonderful things and we have almost nothing in comparison. We like that. Or do you think they would like to have an economy that would provide for 1.3 or 4 billion people to have the same opportunities as we have? I'm an American. I'm happy to be an American. And I'm happy to live in this country. And I'm very happy that God decided that I was to be born here. I don't guess I would have had too much trouble learning Chinese if I had been born there. I wouldn't want to try to do it now. But here's the thing. Someday, all things being equal, how many think that if China's people get what they want, which is they want the same opportunities that we have, how many think that they're going to have a bigger economy than us? Duh. So I believe that every person should be treated with dignity. But I've also not forgotten what it says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, people are all the same all over the planet. And they all have fallen short. And they all need a Savior. All of them. And I know this from God's word, but I see it in my neighborhood. How many of you have some neighbors who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Yeah, and you probably have too. In fact, I know you have. So this idea of self-respect that was in our first part of the definition, we need to be a little bit careful with that. And then the third definition said arrogant or disdain, full conduct or treatment, haughtiness. I think this kind of pride should never be celebrated. Do we want to act like we're Americans and that makes us better than everybody else? That'd be a problem, wouldn't it? Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. But there are people who think they're better than everybody else. You may have noticed. And then that's, I think we can all agree that third kind of pride is definitely out. And then there's the second definition, which says pleasure or satisfaction taken in achievement, possession, or association. I do think there are times for a proper, if you will, kind of pride, although I wonder about the English language sometimes because we have so many words that cover so many things and can be different depending on who's saying it and how they're saying it. Sometimes the English language is a tough one. I think it's good to be a little, you know, happy about your achievements, things you're able to do. I know when I saw my kids do things, I took a little bit of pride in that. I wanted to see my kids do well. You have that kind of a feeling, but it can also be dangerous. How many of you have seen a gifted athlete who fails to recognize how blessed he is and thinks he did it all? Yeah. And they think because they achieved something that they're better suited to be, you know, something or other than anybody else, and they have forgotten. Well, like, for example, not everybody who's 6'9 plays in the NBA. But I've never seen anybody who was 4'9 play in the NBA. What's that? He wasn't 4'9. Yeah, I did go down 2 feet to be close enough. Yes, Bud Webb played in the NBA, and he was a short guy, 5-something. 5'4", yeah. And he should be more proud than those 6'9", 7-footers, really. That he made the NBA is pretty amazing, if you're going to be proud. But, you know, there's a lot of guys that, you know, they were born into the right body, and they think that they're all that in a bag of chips because they, you know, did something. Pride that thinks it's better than everyone else is not a good thing. I heard a commentator the other day who happens to be a 6'4" guy, and he was talking about this concept. He said, you know, I can't be proud of being 6'4". I didn't lay on a rack in pain and get stretched all the time. You know, it just happened. You know, it's just what happens. And so sometimes I think we have to be careful because this pride thing is tricky, and that's why I told you to turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Look at verse 12 with me. We'll go verses 12 through 17. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above all the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. And then let me just read this to you from Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Most theologians believe that pride is the original sin. It's the thing that started this mess in the first place. And that Lucifer, filled with pride, that's how he got to where he is now, which is not a good place. So I do believe that that's what caused Satan to fall. Now, speaking of falls, I was at my granddaughter Lynn's birthday party yesterday, and Remington, my older granddaughter, was going through the house on a hoverboard. And some of you may remember a few years ago, I actually came out from around that corner and rode right here and stood on a hoverboard. I can ride a hoverboard. My wife says, you know, you ought to get on that hoverboard. Because the other little kids were kind of not sure what they wanted to do it. And I think she figured, no man can do it. Any kid can do it. Anyway, I decided I would do it. And, well, I might have been kind of maybe just a teeny bit, you know, just showing off a little bit on the, you know, maybe being a little proud kind of, you know, whatever. And I rode down the hall, and I was in this little foyer area in my son's house and just going around in circles and having a good time. And then my son, who hadn't really gotten onto it yet, said, how do you get on and off of that? And I just showed him. I just, you know, you got, hoverboards are funny. They've got this thing that you have to do with your feet, and if you do it right, you know, then it goes forward or backwards or turns in circles, and I was having a good time with it, and I showed him how you kind of have to get in the right balance, and then you can get your foot off, and then you can get off of it, and then when you want to get back on, when you put it on, you know, you just got to just be real quick and got to balance everything out. It can be a little tricky, and even my granddaughter, who's been riding it for a while now, she likes to get on it standing in a doorway. So she can, you know, hold on to something when she gets on it. And then she showed me, though, how to, they've got these little kick plate things in between some of their doorways and their little bumps, and you can't ride one of those things over a bump too handy. So she showed me how you kind of get one side over the bump and then spin backwards and get the other side over the bump, and then you can go in another part of the house. So we were having fun with it. So he was asking me how I did it, and I got back on it, and then he goes, well, hey, get off and let me do it. And he kind of put his hand on my shoulder or something. He doesn't remember putting his hand on my shoulder. I don't remember what happened. All I know is all of a sudden I shifted my weight the wrong way as I was trying to take my foot off so he could get on the thing. And the next thing I know, I'm on the floor, which, no big deal. I've fallen before. And I landed on they had a vacuum cleaner right there. And when I stood up, I looked down at my hand. And Matt's going to put a picture up for what it looked like. Now, that's actually, it looked a little better there because they had gotten my ring off. They had to cut my ring off. I had to go to the hospital and get my ring cut off. And so it was actually seemed like it was a little straighter at that point because it was leaning more underneath my middle finger before. But I was like, oh, I better take a picture of this. So go to the next picture, Matt. So that's a picture from the side. You're welcome. And again, by this time I had been getting some prayer, and I was feeling pretty good about, you know, my fingers looking a little bit better. But as you can see, there's this unusual kind of a bulge underneath where the ring is, and then the other part seems to be over top of the part that's underneath. And if you will, show them the third picture. That's the X-ray. So you can see where one part of my finger sticking out, the part from my, you know, fist knuckle down to my first knuckle, is underneath of my first knuckle, and then everything's, and that's why I couldn't get the ring off. It wasn't going to come off. My son said later, he wanted to cut it off. I said, no, I think I'll go to the hospital. Thank you. No, I'll cut that off for you. No, you're not cutting that off. I'm going to the hospital. And and then when I saw this, I kind of looked at the rest of it and thought, you know, because at first I thought something was really badly broken. Like I had this picture of the little bone between the two knuckles. I had it in my mind that was probably snapped, and I couldn't move it. Couldn't do this that I'm doing with my hand this morning. And but you all have been praying, and I looked up and I said, that looks like it's dislocated. And the guy doing the X-ray says, yeah, I think that's all you got. He said, we'll have to have a doctor look at it. So then one of the docs looked at it, and then this girl comes back in and she says, okay. She says, do you want to numb that up or you just want me to just pull it back in place? And my first thought that went through my head when she said, do you want me to pull your finger was, you know, that's probably not a good idea with old guys. But anyway, here, just pull my finger. Yeah, I just told her, I said, no, it'll hurt more to numb it probably than it will for you to pull it. I mean, you're just going to kind of just jerk it all at once, aren't you? She says, yeah, I've done this before. Okay. I stuck my hand out there, and she got between me and my hand and got in just the right position, and all of a sudden, snap! Show them the last picture. And there's the last picture. Straight again. It's amazing. Never had a dislocation before. Some of you probably have. I thought I was in big trouble. So, you know, thanks, Matt. When I first saw it, when I got up off the floor, I'm thinking, yeah, you're not playing guitar tomorrow. But I did. Because I sent a note to Marlene and she put out a prayer request. And even while I'm in the hospital, I'm thinking, wow, is this going to, you know, Worst case scenario could require a little surgery. If you break a bone like that and there's a little something splintered or off, or, you know, then they have to go in and open it up and put things back together and super glue it and, you know, do what they have to do. And then I thought, well, you know, if it's a break, they'll want to put a splint on it, and it's hard to play with a splint on. And I wasn't even worried so much about this morning. It's just that this is the week that our band is going to do something we haven't done in a long time, go out and play. So here we are going up to Pioneer, and I'm thinking, oh boy, this could get a little weird. I am very thankful. I'm very thankful, but I got to tell you, when I fell and I looked down at my hand, I was kind of laughing. I was laughing because, you goofball, you shouldn't have been running around the house on a hoverboard with all these little kids running around. And second of all, you goofball, what are you going to preach on tomorrow? Pride. And what does the Bible say? Pride goes before a fall. And I was thinking about it, even as I was trying to get up from falling down. We all know the phrase. It's common among people who aren't even Christians. We're all used to that verse. We've heard it before. So I kind of started laughing at myself. And I joked with everyone how silly it was. And I joked about, no, you're not cutting off that ring. I'm going someplace. And by the way, I'll be able to save the ring. My dad and my grandpa were both jewelers. And I know about these things. And they cut it very nicely. And I'm take it down to Stanball's probably here in town and get my ring fixed. 45 years. That ring's been, I need to keep that ring going.
Does it feel weird without it?
It does feel a little weird without it, yeah. And sometimes it feels like it's still there. It's a little strange. But I kept laughing at myself, and that brought another verse right away to mind, because these things were already written down, because I was already talking to myself about talking about pride, so I hadn't gotten everything done yet. But 1 Peter 5:5 says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And I decided I needed to start being a little more humble. Remember, mercy is where you don't get what you deserve, and grace is where you get what you don't deserve. I am thankful for the prayers and support of people here in this church and a few others. And I am very grateful to God that those prayers were heard. And I know it probably was never a big deal, but maybe God moved a little bit and made it better than it was, because it sure did look ugly. I noticed no one gagged and ran out of the room. Glad of that. It could have been very seriously damaged. I might have had a problem playing guitar in the future if surgery had been required to fix something that was broken. And instead, the next day, I'm able to get up and help lead worship. And by the end of the week, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to get a little black and blue or not, but doing pretty good. Pretty happy. You know, when I think of 1 Peter 5:5, I have to ask myself, do I want to be in a place where I'm resisted by God? God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. I got to be careful that I don't do something that makes me get myself in a position where God's resisting me. I want to be very careful about that. So, I want to be more grateful. And I want to be more grateful that I'm an American than I am proud that I'm American. I think we should be grateful. And I think that's what some people mean when they say they're proud to be an American. I think what they mean sometimes is, I'm really thankful that I get to live in this country. as I think I said a while back, I can understand why some people are trying to cross our border. Why are people from so many places around the world, not just now, people south of the border in Mexico and Latin America, now people from all over the world are crossing our border, on our southern border. They're paying big bucks to not so nice people to come from all over the world to get into this country. Why? Because this is the greatest country on earth still. And probably will be for a while. I hope so. And we have a privilege to live here. It's not something that we should go, yeah, I'm an American. No, it should be, oh, thank you, God, that I get to live in this country. I'm blessed. I'm honored. I'm fortunate. So that brings me to another rhetorical question for you this morning. Are you proud to be a Christian? Being a Christian is not a personal achievement. Being a Christian isn't something you should pat your back on, yourself on the back for and say, I'm a good guy, I'm a Christian. Jesus didn't like that very much. He said to them, when you stand praying, don't be like the guy on the corner or the Pharisee on the corner going, I'm glad I'm not like that guy over there, God. That was pride in a really bad way, wasn't it? Being a Christian was something that was achieved for you, not from you. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and becoming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Everybody say, humbled himself. And became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus humbled his way to greatness. Isn't that a wild idea? He humbled himself right into greatness. Luke 11, 14 says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So as we celebrate the 4th of July, as we celebrate our nation's birth, I think it's fitting for believers in Christ to be more thankful and more humble than it is to be proud. Again, I'm not trying to ruin that song, I'm proud to be an American. But let's take it the right way. Let's take it the right way. So as I close today, I just want to finish by saying that there are a lot of people out there who want to show their pride. I'm not speaking about one specific group, by the way. On both sides of the belief spectrum, left, right, you name it, there are a lot of people out there who think they're all that in a bag of chips and that makes them better than everybody else. I understand something you don't understand. You understand, I see a lot of problems with all of it. 1 Peter 5, 5, I just read, but it goes on to say, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I really don't care what you believe, because it doesn't matter if you are politically one way or the other, if you're not submitted to God, if you're not humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. You can tell me you're the best Christian in the world, you can have the Bible memorized, but if you are full of pride, you got a problem. And whatever else you see out there in the world, anything not submitted to God, anything not bringing itself under recognition of the sovereignty of God in their lives, in our lives. Any government, any legislature, any group of people, any activists, anybody anywhere who isn't bringing themselves humbly under the hand of God is cruising for a bruising. Just like a guy cruising on a hoverboard at his granddaughter's house. Every tribe, nation, and tongue will bow before him someday. So whatever we do, whatever our cause, it has no value if it doesn't go with his plan for our life. I was told last week's message turned out pretty good. So if you didn't hear last week's message, it kind of goes with this one. Go back and catch it. Because you are not your own. If you're a Christian, you were bought with a price. And your life exists to glorify God. Now, we're about to go over for some fellowship and enjoy one another's company on this holiday weekend. And if you came here today and you did not remember to bring food, do not be so proud that you can't stay and have a little bit of something to eat. I got more burgers and weenies. I think there's probably a burger and a weenie for every person in the room. I mean, one of each. And some people like weenies more, and some people like burgers more. We got plenty to eat. In fact, I think my wife made enough for all y'all. All y'all. We were unloading. I unloaded my vehicle with some stuff, and then she came later and unloaded her vehicle with some stuff. So there's plenty. Don't be too proud to stick around, hang out, and have some fun with us. But as we close today, I'm going to pray for us that we find God's heart so that we can handle pride, handle our pride. And as far as other people and their pride, well, again, they got to let God handle their thing. I keep my eyes on this guy right here. This guy right here needs all the attention that I can give him to not think he's all that.
We'll remind you.
Yeah, I am thankful I've got a congregation who will do that. They'll remind me. So let's all stand up together. Just put your hand on your heart, if you will. Father, I pray for us as we conclude today's service. We've already had some good testimonies, so we won't ask for more. We've already had a good word. We've already had some good worship. Thank you for the worship team. We live in a great, great place, Lord. Maybe even better than a lot of places. I like Defiance, God. I think I'm blessed to be here. Defiance, Ohio, in the United States of America. We are blessed, Lord, to have the lives that we have. So help us, Lord, to never let pride get its ugly side ahead of everything else. Help us, Lord, to have a right attitude. And help us to always be humble and grateful to you for all that you have done, because you have done so much for us, Lord, and we are so blessed. And Father, I know that if we will live that blessed life in front of others, if we will show them what it means to be a humble servant of God, and we will honor you in everything that we do, that others will be attracted to that. They'll want that. They may not even know it, but they want it now. And so we pray, God, that we will be the light to the world of your goodness and your love everywhere we go. And now, Lord, bless our time of food and fellowship as we go over into the fellowship hall. And we give you praise for your goodness to us in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.